Welcome to another midweek message from Myerstown Church of the Brethren. I'm Pastor Dennis, and this message is for Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. This message is titled Shouting Stones, Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus. First, some scripture, John 19, verses 38 to 42. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed the body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with spices in linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. For these past 5 midweek messages, I've been focusing on some shouting stones, people who were involved in the events of the last week of Jesus' life. People who saw some things those closest to Jesus were having difficulty seeing. For this last Wednesday before Holy Week, I'll focus on 2 unlikely shouting stones, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. What do we know about these 2 men? Well, Matthew says Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, and the tomb in which he and Nicodemus had laid Jesus was carved out of the rock, and was, in fact, intended to be Joseph's own tomb. The fact that the tomb was carved out of rock, had never been used before, and was intended as Joseph's own, would confirm that he was indeed a rich man. Mark tells us Joseph of Arimathea was an honored member of the High Council, in other words, the Jewish Sanhedrin, and was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Luke tells us he was a good and righteous man, a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders in regards to Jesus. John's Gospel says Joseph was a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders. In John 3:1 to 21, we read that Nicodemus was a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Nicodemus recognized there was something unique about Jesus when he said, "Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." And Jesus replied to Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." And when Nicodemus didn't understand, Jesus went on to explain what he meant. And included in that conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus is what is probably the most well-known verse in the whole New Testament, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Nicodemus also appears in the 7th chapter of John, where we read that the Jewish leadership was plotting to kill Jesus, and learning that he was in the temple, sent the temple guard to arrest him. When the guard returned without Jesus, the leadership was angry. Asked why they hadn't arrested Jesus, the guards replied, "We had never heard anyone speak like this." The Pharisees mocked them for being gullible like the crowds of common people. But then Nicodemus spoke up, albeit somewhat timidly. "Is it legal to convict a man before he's given a hearing?" The only time Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus appear together in Scripture is in John's account of Jesus' burial. They obviously had some things in common, and most likely knew each other well, both being members of the High Council. They were both rich men, as evidenced by Joseph's rock-hewn and unused tomb, and the quantity of spices Nicodemus brought for Jesus' burial. More importantly, they also knew each other as secret followers of Jesus. Together, Joseph and Nicodemus demonstrated some amazing love for Jesus when they took his body for burial. Ironically, their love became public only at the time of Jesus' death. Just the fact that placing Jesus in a tomb was a tremendous act of love, as those who had been crucified normally would have been left for the vultures or placed in a pauper's grave. Isaiah 53:9 tells us the suffering Messiah would be buried among the rich. Joseph and Nicodemus fulfilled that prophecy, something the disciples would not have been able to do as they were poor men from Galilee. Joseph's and Nicodemus' love for Jesus was evident in the tremendous risk they took by taking Jesus' body and placing it in the tomb. Mark says Joseph went boldly and asked Pilate's permission to take Jesus' body for burial. After all that had taken place in that day, Pilate probably had little patience for someone from the Jewish High Council, so Joseph risked the ire of Pilate by approaching him for the body. And by handling a dead body, they disqualified themselves from participating in the Jewish Passover feast. Joseph and Nicodemus had nothing to gain and everything to lose. Nicodemus was supposedly one of the richest men in Jerusalem, but according to some historians, when it was realized he was a disciple of Jesus, he lost it all and was persecuted by the same community of which he had been an honored member. Joseph likewise was removed from the council, but some historians believe he went on to become a leader in the early church. Joseph's and Nicodemus's love for Jesus was evident in what they did for Jesus at his death. And it would be easy for us to criticize them, as neither of them had the courage to acknowledge before others their belief in Jesus during his lifetime. And although scripture does not say this of Nicodemus, I imagine what was said of Joseph was true of him as well, that he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. They both believed Jesus was who he said he was, yet they both lacked the courage to confess themselves as believers. Well, before we condemn them too much for their lack of courage, we might try putting ourselves in their place and consider what we would have done. In that nighttime encounter, Jesus was patient with Nicodemus. The closest Jesus came to criticizing him was when he said to him, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things." But then Jesus didn't cut off the conversation. Kept on instructing Nicodemus. Interestingly, Jesus' last words to Nicodemus were, "Those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." And regarding Joseph of Arimathea, the scriptural record admits his faults, but there are also numerous positive things mentioned about him. A good and upright man. He had not consented to the council's decision to see Jesus executed. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. He acted at the right time and unknowingly fulfilled scripture by his action. Yet during Jesus' life, both Joseph and Nicodemus remained secret disciples. Whether or not their reason for doing so, for fear of the Jews, was a good one, well, we can only judge as we consider our own discipleship. Honestly, a secret disciple seems to be an oxymoron. Scripture makes it pretty clear its true disciples of Jesus can't be secretive about their faith. Jesus once said, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." And then again he said, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." You see, a disciple is more than just someone who believes, more than a learner, more than someone who just likes Jesus. A disciple is someone who submits their life, their motives, their commitment, their attitudes, and their service to the way of Jesus. A disciple acknowledges Jesus before others. And while we might be able to believe privately, we cannot be a disciple privately. There must be both an inner, private response to Jesus, and there also must be an outer, public evidence of our discipleship. Jesus made it clear we are to go and tell. We're to be salt and light in the world for him. We're to acknowledge him publicly. To keep our faith in Christ to ourselves is a form of selfishness. It robs others of the opportunity to know him also. This coming Sunday, Palm Sunday, we'll sing lustily as did those who followed Jesus into Jerusalem waving palm branches. Hosanna, loud hosannas. We'll pray openly and hear the word of God without any fear. But what about Monday? What about Monday when you're out there on your own? How will you respond when that coworker or classmate asks you, what did you do over the weekend? When a conversation provides an opening to share your faith, will you? Will you be secretive? Or will you take seriously what Paul said to Timothy? Never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may I never be ashamed to tell others about you. May I be a salt and light in the world for you. In your name, amen. God bless. Hope to see you on Sunday morning.